Last week, Kaylee was preaching from the story of the man born blind. But today we shift to one of the other senses, the sense of hearing. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said. There's no break between chapter 9 and 10, even though those numbers that were inserted in the large space in your Bibles might give us that impression. In chapter 10, Jesus is still speaking to the Pharisees, presumably to the disciples, but also to the blind man, or the man born blind. Those Christians who are sighted rely heavily on seeing to recognize people. But we know that those who are not able to see are able to rely on other senses to recognize the people around them and the world around them. They rely on hearing and on touch. Perhaps all of us can approximate that experience, even if we have not learned to make the greatest use of those senses. I can sit up in my office and I can hear the door open, and sometimes I'm able to guess who it is. So there's somebody who walks in, and the door closes, and then there's the sound of a number of bags being placed down, and shoes being changed, and finally, slowly going back up the stairs. Well, Esther's here. Then there's somebody who comes in, the door opens, and while the door is still swinging open, I hear a thumping of shoes being cleaned off, and then up the stairs, and up the stairs some more, and then the door closes. And John's already on the third floor. And then there's the person, I could hear the door, someone trying to open the door, and then they come in, they say, "The key won't work! The Barb is here." And then I don't know what I sound like. What do I sound like? Tired in the morning sometimes, dragging my feet up, or bounce, hopping, skipping up the steps. We can imagine, at least, that kind of a world of interacting with our world through our ears and having in our minds the people and God and nature represented in sound and taste and touch and smell. In chapter 9, the focus was on seeing Jesus, on sight. But on chapter 10, the focus is on sound, on hearing Jesus, his voice calling his sheep by name, his sheep who follow him because they know the sound of his voice. They don't follow a stranger because they don't know the stranger's voice. There are sheep in other folds, and they know Jesus' voice as well. And, remarkably, earlier in John chapter 5, verse 25, Jesus says, "The dead will hear my voice. I will call them, and they will rise up." And next week, in chapter 11, we will see that acted out in a dramatic way. All of this calls to mind 1 John, the first letter of John. The things that we announce to you are what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have heard with our own ears, what we have touched with our own hands. This morning I'm specifically interested in chapter 9, verse 39, which I would suggest acts as a hinge between these two sections. I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. It seems to me that this could also be a word for us for Lent. Sighted people place so much importance on seeing over all the other senses. But here Jesus is observing that it prevents some from recognizing God at work in the world, and specifically God at work through Jesus. Instead, it was the man who was born blind who recognized Jesus and God at work in the world. And so Jesus calls us to recognize at least two different options, two doorways, two pathways. Either to accept that we cannot see so that we might recognize Jesus, or to allow ourselves to be brought to a place in life where we recognize our limitations, recognize that we don't fully know God, fully know Jesus, so that we might then begin to recognize God in the world. Either be aware of your humble position or prepare yourself to be brought to it. This is also a word of hope and comfort for all people, for all of us. That even though we cannot see Jesus now, we have heard his voice. We have felt his presence in our lives. God is with us and at work. Our call at Lent is to humble ourselves, to admit our limitations and our weakness, so that we might know Jesus more. I want to go back, though, to the story of the man born blind and just go pay attention, move slowly through the order of events. If you'll remember, Jesus was walking along and Jesus saw the man born blind. Jesus went up to the man, made mud with his saliva, and put mud on the man's eyes, and then said, "Now go and wash in the pool of Siloam." So note, at this point, the man cannot see. He has not seen Jesus. He went, he washed, and he was given sight. But he doesn't know what Jesus looks like. He doesn't know where Jesus is or where Jesus went. The authorities are stirred up. Everybody is stirred up, and they take this man, and he is grilled by the authorities several times. His parents are grilled. And calmly and persistently, the man defends Jesus repeatedly. "I know that the man who healed me was from God. I know that this was God at work." He had not seen Jesus yet. He had never seen Jesus. But the blind man recognized Jesus all the same. He'd been touched by Jesus. And if you can imagine what it must have had to have been, that Jesus would have had to rest a hand on the man's face to steady the man and steady himself. His hand, Jesus holding his cheek or the back of his head into his hair, with his other hand touching his eyes. The man had heard Jesus speak to him. And what we see in the blind man's testimony before the courts was that the man recognized, "That was God who touched me through this man. That was God who spoke to me through that man." When the man was released, Jesus went and found him. The man saw Jesus for the first time after living faithfully and giving faithful testimony. He saw Jesus with his own eyes. A prefiguring of our experience when we meet Jesus face to face. Jesus met him, and the man said, "Lord, I believe." And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I call them by name, and I lead them out. They follow my voice. I have sheep in other folds, and they will hear my voice as well. And one day the dead will hear my voice. I will call them, and they will rise." We are in a period of turmoil. It has felt like a period of a historical era of turmoil for 2 years. Uncertainty. And there is a sense in which we are all not sure what we are seeing. We don't really understand what's going on or what will happen next. This story is for us a hope, a beacon of light, a word of wisdom. In the midst of our anxiety and fear, to practice being still so that we might listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. Those of us who are sighted, I am sure, are looking around, all around us, at this and at that. Let us practice listening for the voice of the Good Shepherd. The most beloved picture in the early church was not the cross. You will look in vain in the first 300, 400, 500 years for a picture of the cross. One of the most beloved pictures etched onto the walls of the churches and the catacombs is the image of the Good Shepherd. The shepherd with a sheep draped across his shoulders. These were people who knew turmoil and danger and war and famine and earthquakes, disasters, and they looked to Jesus Christ, their Good Shepherd. They listened for his voice. They knew the Good Shepherd would lay his life down for his sheep. The story is also a warning to us. If we say we already know, if we say we already see things fully, we might miss out on recognizing Jesus, on recognizing God at work in our world and in our lives. It's a call for us to humble ourselves, to accept that we do not know fully. We know only in part. We see and hear, we taste and touch and smell only in part. But we do all of those things, seeking to know Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. It seems to me that there is a tension in this call to know Jesus Christ in this way, especially in times of turmoil, perhaps. Some of us, and I feel this, want something more specific, something that tells us what's right and what's wrong and what we ought to do and what ought to happen now. And I remain convinced that the ordering of our world is a task beyond humanity, that we must humble ourselves and trust God to lead us, as difficult as it is, moment by moment and day by day. That the lamb that is on the shoulders of Christ, or the burden that is on the shoulders of Christ, is not just an individual, but it is the government, the ordering of this world that Jesus carries on his shoulders. And all Jesus gives us is our task, day after day. I'm also convinced that we must begin by seeking Jesus Christ, because I think that what the world needs is to rediscover or be taught properly how to love. We think we know what this is, but when we get to know Jesus, we are taught over and over again what love truly is like. And we are taught levels of ability to forgive that we did not think was possible. We are taught ways of generosity that we did not think was possible. I remain convinced that this is the only hope for our world. The Good Shepherd calls you by name and leads you out to good pasture in the midst of whatever is going on in your life. The Good Shepherd leads you to abundant life. And the meal that we will celebrate today is a physical sign of Jesus feeding us and providing for us. It's a sign, if you let it, it is a sign that you can taste and touch and smell, if you allow it to. God can meet you in the midst of all of these physical senses. So let us prayerfully approach this table as one people.